beautiful Saturday morning to you all. It is Rosie on the House. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with us and the Lawn and Garden with John J. Harper of Harper's Nursery and special guest Thomas Deegan, member of the Arizona Community Tree Council. Michael's called in with a question about his evergreen pears. Let's see what we can do to help him this morning. Michael, tell us about your trees.
Good morning. I've got two of them. They're both pretty good size, and they're creating too much shade, killing off all the grass. So I need to trim them back. I've had people come out in the past and trim them, but I'm wanting to start doing it myself. What's the best time of year to trim them?
I'd say right now, especially with all this rain, would be a great time, Michael. And you've got all the way up until like February or so before they start to leaf out again. And then even as far as March, because we've had frost as late as March in some years. So you've got from now until March to trim them, to get them back down to where you're going to be able to grow some grass under there. But eventually, you're going to have to overseed that area with something like a fescue or something to get it to stay through the summer months, because once that Bermuda grass loses its light, then its recovery is pretty much non-existent at a certain point in time. Yeah. You say you have two. Are they close together?
They're probably 30 feet apart, maybe. Yeah, 25.
And the only problem you have with them is that they're shading the ground so much you can't get grass to grow?
Yeah.
Yeah. At this point, you'll need to put sod in if you want summer grass there, or overseed it with a fescue product that you'd overseed now in the winter, and then it'll stay until like August.
Sounds like a great application for easy turf to me.
A little artificial synthetic grass.
The nice thing about flowering pears is they're not a huge tree, so you could probably keep them small enough to eventually get enough sunlight under there to grow grass. But you know, if you've let them get big and hang down pretty close to the ground, you know, then that can be a problem. But it is not a big tree, so you could probably keep the size, you know, and skirt them up a bit.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear they look that good, that you're shading the ground so much you can't.
Yeah, evergreen pears are not always the best.
They're not notorious for that.
The most successful tree here.
Yeah, so. Good for you.
Now, Adele has wrote in and says that they need help with pecan trees. In the last 3 years, it's produced very few pecans, and now she's even lost one of the trees, and now all the leaves are dropping. And now this was a couple months ago. This was back in August, and we answered this question off the air. But is that too early in the year for pecans to start losing tree or leaves?
No, not necessarily. Pecans are a pretty good tree. They're unfortunately susceptible to Texas root rot and crown gall, which can cause both of those things to happen. Oftentimes you'll find Harper's recommending a zinc. They're susceptible to zinc deficiency too, and you could find that product at Harper's, I believe, in a foliar spray. And the other thing that a lot of people lose track of with pecans especially is that the older they get, the more water they need. When they first start out, they need 10 gallons a day. Then the second year, they need 20. Third year, 30. The older they get, then you just have to water more and more. By the time they're 10 years old, they need 110 gallons of water a day.
Well,
I tell people if you drive in old areas, you know, they planted pecan trees on ditch banks and canal banks. So they had almost a constant supply of water in some of those areas. That's how much water a big mature pecan tree needs. So they do need a fair amount of water. Now, you don't water them every day. You can water them once a week, but you have to put
that
volume, 500 or 600 gallons of water
at
a time. So if it's in a grove, I mean, they're flood irrigating about every 2 weeks, but they put a foot or two of water on there and flood it and let it soak in.
And you hear this and you think, man, why go through all that effort? But if you've ever been at the farm at South Mountain, man, it's hard to not want a pecan tree in a little lawn.
I would suspect that, it's a combination of watering, not enough fertilizer. Now, the nut production could be also a pollination problem. Some varieties of pecans need a pollinator.
One thing that she didn't point out was how old it was and how long she'd had it. I mean, she said that it's been suffering this problem for the last 3 years. Well, interestingly enough, there's some neighborhoods where pecan trees have been there for quite a while, and old neighborhoods of trees are like old neighborhoods of people. I mean, somebody's always dying. Yeah, so you can't get too excited about that. I mean, nothing lives.
Oops, Fred just died.
Nothing lives forever. So,
yeah, if it's in an old orchard, old pecan grove, which there are some neighborhoods, especially in the Southeast Valley, that are in old pecan groves, those pecan groves are way old and way past their prime.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
Mr. Thomas Deegan, thank you for joining us with here representing the Arizona Community Tree Council. Real quick, what's your three favorite trees for the desert?
Deciduous trees would probably be sisu, ash, and the Arizona tree would be a Colorado mesquite.
Colorado mesquite.
Because it's thornless.
And that really is an Arizona tree? Or?
Yeah, it does fine here. It doesn't have thorns on it and grows absolutely beautiful. Please don't water them in the summertime. They don't need any water in the summertime.
Mr. Harper, thanks as always for joining us.
Absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
Download show archives and take Rosie on the go. Sign up for the Rosie on the House weekly podcast located under the media tab at rosieonthehouse.com.